We'll see if we're on in a second. Yeah. Okay. Now we're on. We're live. How are you? Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever the hell you are. I'm Hal Sparks. This is Richard Connor. This is the Double Neck Download. Normally, this download is just our, the Double Neck Download is a podcast that we do about hard rock, heavy metal, the kind of music that we like and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it might be helpful since everybody is self-isolating and sequestered at home and might be a little bored and interested in stuff, then you might want to see what the podcast is about. We'll do it live here. We'll even take some questions and some comments from people in the process. And then over the course of that, maybe some of you will decide you want to listen to it the rest of the time. If not, it's a good introduction to it because a lot of hard rock news. What's happening, Hector? A lot of hard rock news is happening mm-hmm. currently as tours get canceled, shifted around. We, as you know, as huge Kiss fans, I feel like in some ways I might have been able to see the last Kiss David Lee Roth show.
Yeah,
because I don't know if that he will pick up with them when they redo those dates. Probably, but I don't know.
Did you go?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just went recently to the.
Yeah, I saw him at the Forum.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Or I mean at the Staples Center, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And amazing show, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to report from mm-hmm. there. We have a bunch of people in here. Guys, hey, Julie, how are you? Julie's, are you in Germany right now, Julie? What's up, Thomas Rock? Excellent name. Yes, this is live. Are we live?
We're live.
I feel like Steve Martin when
I think I'm still alive.
When he's answering his phone in LA Story. Hello? Is this a person? Yes, this is a person. So we are, look at me coughing into my hand. It was not a real cough. That was just a clear throat cough or whatever, but slather. So yeah, we do this podcast fairly regularly talking about hard rock, heavy metal, the kind of music we love and all that. Yes, Julie says she's in Germany and she's stuck. She's lost in Germany, to quote a King's X song. Can't go anywhere for 60 days. Holy smokes. You know, the word quarantine, do you know the root of the word quarantine?
I don't.
Richard?
I actually don't.
Ships, when they were coming into ports that they were not, that they had not left, you know, that they were like foreign ports.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, around Italy and Spain, had to stay offshore for 40 days, hence quarantine, the root of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Until such time as they knew that either everybody wasn't sick or that everybody who had gotten sick was dead of it or it was just a dead ship. They just wait until everybody got sick and died. And then they would just take the ship?
Yes. Yeah. I think what they would do, they would keep the ship offshore for 40 days. And on the 41st day, if it didn't come in, right. They're like, well, that one didn't work
out. Yeah, right. Oops. Right. Hey, all the candles have gone out. I'm guessing. Nobody's fishing off the edge anymore. So Brian says they're in rainy and isolated Los Angeles. The 15th, this Sunday, I still have a show at Flappers. We'll see. Everything's in flux. All these shows that are under 1,000, I think a lot of people who are looking to actually go out and do something and don't feel that they're interacting with anybody that they feel in their own lives that are vulnerable or that are really good about washing their hands, cleaning up after themselves and all that and the like are coming out to some of these. So that's still going on. And we are doing a show with Don Jameson on the 27th of this month at Flappers as well, which is this hard rock show that we're putting together, three metal comics, and so we're doing that.
And the night before in Las Vegas, March 26th at Bootleggers Bistro in the Copa Room at the end of the Las Vegas Strip.
Which sounds like a place that's at the end of the Las Vegas Strip. Anything that's the Copa Room. It's basically going to be, at this rate, three of us performing for a hooker who's had so many diseases that she is immune to everything. So she's just smoking in the back like a Charles Bukowski character as a cockroach talks to her on the bar. Have another sip, Charlie.
But here's the
you
thing.
You and I will get through this together.
Here's the thing. On the other side of her, there's an open bar stool, and that one could be yours.
That right. That's right.
So,
way to go to the hard sell.
Yeah, so come out and...
sounds lovely.
Come out and see. In fact, if you're streaming this, if you want to come to the show, just hit Hal up or me, either one. Just DM us, and we'll get you on the guest list.
That's right. These will basically be free shows for people who feel like they need to get out of the house and have been sequestered long enough and are... by the way, get tested if need be. If you have been tested, interestingly enough, and you have it, and you self-isolate long enough to have the virus pass and you heal from it, you are what socially is referred to, congratulations, as a rod. A rod is somebody in the, you know, in a pandemic or an epidemic as it spreads that doesn't pass it anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can get back to work right away and do all those things. So if you have found out you have it and you stay through the process until you are no longer contagious, which is about, you know, 14 days if you have it and you don't get really sick. And you'll know apparently because it's fairly gnarly, but do that. As soon as you've been, you know, your doctor says, yeah, you're not, you've had it and you're done. Get back out into life as quickly as possible because the world needs you more than anybody. Like that, literally, that's one of the best reasons to get tested is so that if you have had it and you're done, you're like, oh yeah, I had mild symptoms. I didn't even realize. Get back to life.
That's going
to
take the place of an advanced degree on people's resumes.
That's right. I noticed you've had COVID.
Yeah.
And it was fairly mild. Fantastic. You're the kind of go-getter this firm needs.
Yeah. Didn't graduate high school.
Nope.
Today, not a problem.
Just you and your hooker friend are welcome, Charlie the Cockroach. Come on in. You're the kind. You've got the kind of moxie that old Pollo Loco is looking for. So, yeah. Hey, gallows humor will get us through, folks. So we have been talking about... I keep touching my face as a tick when, like, every time somebody tells me not to. Has the virus mutated? There's some question about that. Nobody really knows. Those kind of questions are speculative at best. It will, but it won't. Even the mutations won't be massive mutations where it's figured out a way around the vaccine, like a, you know, those kind of. We don't have one yet, so fear. You know, that should be the least of your worries, because it won't mutate until it's in a massive way, until it's confronted by something that stops it. And that's usually a vaccine. That's why the flu does what it does. So, hi. Yes, we are live. We're doing this live.
So, just as we got ready to sit down to go live, Live Nation
nicely done.
Announced that they are halting all touring, Hal.
That's right.
All touring. Mm-hmm. Let me just, I think I pulled up their press release here.
Yeah, the word I heard that Live Nation, quote unquote, and this is an interesting phrasing because you hear this all the time when downturns happen and shit like this hits the fan, everybody goes, this company lost X in today and whatever, this amount of money. That money didn't go anywhere. It's just not coming into their coffers now. It will be there later in some other form, especially in a giant group like Live Nation. The pockets it left are the musicians themselves, who, you know, especially gigging musicians who are, you know, I tweeted this a couple days ago, but the bands that, you know, can't for the life of them draw over 1,000 are like expecting a heyday of bookings in April, May, June, as, you know, as hopefully the curve alters. And people are still reticent. And these big tours and big shows take a little while to get grinding up. The Sexy Liberal Tour shows are still on currently. We are looking for bumper dates in case the, Wisconsin, we're doing the 21st. Our venue is under 1,000. The governor of Wisconsin has issued a state of emergency. That said, there's no guarantee that he won't say, okay, we're going to shrink that to 250 like they did in Seattle, for example, where it was very acute. So far, those things are on. If they do get changed, they will happen eventually. Mostly, like, the summer touring world is going to be crazy this year because of everybody who was getting cheaper dates at venues because it was the spring and school was still in and stuff like that. It's going to shift a lot of stuff around. Yeah, this is, are you guys talking about the stock market? Yeah, everybody is waiting for the bottom. And here's the thing, like, that's a different conversation for another podcast, but it is obvious that the stock market genuinely, without a pandemic occurring, has a value of about 30K, legit. Companies functioning fully, doing all the things that they're doing. Everybody's pulling this money out right now, either to live on it or to profit from the drop. That's it. And most of what you're seeing pull out right now is the wave of foreign investors who yank their stuff out right at the, you know, to protect themselves. And a lot of people waiting for the bottom, like I said. So watch for the big buy-in in June or something. It might be, you know, too late for people to make an investment burst like they did, you know, from 2016 to now.
It makes you realize, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, it makes you realize how many people's jobs are dependent still, even in the digital age, on face-to-face interaction. Because I was thinking about this the other day, and I would say, you know,
how digital this world is supposed to be.
You keep hearing, you know, work from home. And I was thinking, okay, well, that makes sense if you're a CPA. This would be a great time to be a CPA right now.
Yeah, nobody wants to see you anyway.
No, that's right. So, you know, I was seeing like there are these professions that fit into that mold, but how many of them, and especially in the day and age of the gig economy. Now, maybe this works for delivery people, but not if you're a Lyft driver. No. Or a Uber driver. Right. That's going to be
food and groceries.
Yeah. Yes,
that really is. Please post your Milwaukee appearances in my Facebook group, Milwaukee Area Unlimited. Well, thank you. Will do. Madison is the upcoming gig in Wisconsin. Jada thinks that ticket prices will go up to make up for the downtime. And Hector's asking, what do you think will happen in movies? Obviously, after major crises, movie attendance always takes a dip, and they've moved a bunch of blockbusters the way a lot of tours are going, because they are group oriented events. They are socially valuable events. People go to these things again, you know, not just to see the thing they're there to see, but see it with like-minded people, you know, and that is a big aspect of this. But, oh, thanks, Patricia. Look at that. I appreciate that. We got a Double Neck Download got its first super chat ever.
Oh,
that's lovely. Awesome. Thank you. And Tom Hebert is right, you know, saying retail workers. Yeah. And again, a lot of these, hey, Cotton, a lot of these folks, you know, we talk about, like, I think Mark Cuban was talking about, like, if they stop sporting events, all the people who sell Nerdhalen in the house, in our chat room, there they are. A lot of people were talking about, like, if you shut down NBA games, all the people who sell stuff and work there and clean the place and all this stuff, that's the ripple effect you worry about. The same is true of live bands and all this stuff. Like, there is a reality to, you go out and support your favorite bands, right? You go, okay, I want to see my favorite band when they come through, or a band I used to like and they come through and, like, oh, hey, they're finally touring again, or even local bands that are minor or whatever. There is an ancillary career of people that happens around those bands who are largely, even if they're working professionally, are almost making hobbyist level money to try and just stay in the game and do what they love. I mean, you have never seen a do what you love first crowd like touring musicians. Yeah. So, I mean, because the hit and miss volume on that, I've always said that, like, the fact that you can buy a song for 99 cents, but that the value of that song is literally priceless, immeasurable to your life. Think of all the songs that from your favorite bands that, you know, you love. That song shifted who you are, made you who you are, you know, got you through a crisis, helped heal your broken heart, you know, got you.
Only to have it broken again.
Right. That's right. Yeah, in the second album.
Yeah.
Sophomore Jinx is being what they are. This is, hi, Billy. Hey, Carl. Everybody's jumping in the chat room. It's nice to see you. Most people for the Double Neck Download won't know, listening to this later, what the hell I'm talking about. We're streaming this live, and there's a bunch of chat folks hopping in and saying hi. So I would argue, you know, when this tapers off, and it will, because life is life, you and I have been through in our lifetimes. I'll go back as far as the Iranian hostage crisis, the Cold War, the AIDS crisis, the 9/11, the 2008 stock market crash. Most of the orange guy so far, mm-hmm. and then this,
mm-hmm.
and you mix in with that H1N1, SARS, MERS, Ebola, smaller things that had that definitely threw a monkey wrench in stuff. If you're a touring international musician or performer of any sort, if you have to stop because of this, like Kiss just canceled, they postponed three or four of their tours after just announcing that all their meet and greets were canceled,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge thing. I mean, they sell it. We've talked about this earlier.
Saw somebody say that. They're like, all right, this is when it got real. When have you ever seen Gene Simmons leave money on the table?
Right.
Like, for him to, that moment, you must have just been able to hear the pin drop when Gene spoke up and said, let's issue refunds.
I'm not touching these people. Right. That's it anymore. I mean, we've all, if anybody in the arts world or the touring world has, I have shaken hands with enough people where it felt like they had been, to quote Steve Martin, squashing caterpillars right before they touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Gene definitely has piles of those folks showing up at meet and greets and that kind of stuff. And even in normal circumstances, there's a reason why Howie Mandel didn't shake hands with anybody because I guarantee he and Roseanne got a wart in 1990 and went, that's it. I'm not touching anybody ever again. So,
I mean, it may change, the way that things happen moving forward. Like, I'll give you an example. I mean, there's some things that even if you're not panicking,
right.
You can't buy water at the grocery store any easier than the person who is panicking.
Yes.
So we were just talking about that before we signed on. Like, I'm going to have to go out and, I normally grocery shop every 2 weeks. And I don't do it with the idea in mind that I need to stock up. Mm-hmm. But today I'll go out and probably buy a month's worth just because I know that shelves may be cleared off, in another couple of weeks. So, because you brought up, like, the AIDS crisis. I came of age sexually at exactly when AIDS was happening. I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
And it forever affected the way that I had sex. I used condoms. Like,
right.
I mean, I can remember people older. The bands that I was in growing up through most of the 80s into the early 90s, a lot of times I was the youngest guy in the band by sometimes 10 years.
Yeah.
And I remember having these conversations with these guys, who'd been kicking around since the 70s, and they're like, condoms? What the hell?
Yeah, right.
And to me, I was like, how could you not?
Yeah, right.
And so it may be that sort of thing where
they're literally, in this circumstance, there is no version of that. There's no condoming life.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to contain it. You have to create a vaccine for it. You have to have a management vaccine for it and deal with it that way. And again, 80% of the people who get it, unlike AIDS, for example,
mm-hmm.
Will have it and immediately pass through it and come out the other side. So there will be the problem is not, I mean, in some ways is not now, it's the fall, because let's say we get a handle on slowing it down and then there's a spike around the regular cold and flu season. Mm-hmm. We still don't have a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hit. So a lot of these bands are postponing shows till the fall when it may be at another zenith.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and AIDS is now, I mean, we had, there's the second guy who's mm-hmm. been cured of it permanently. There's management drugs for it that have changed the face of that experience. And yet everybody's still carrying around this,
Yeah, I draw the analogy in the sense that it may just change how you think about certain things moving forward. Like, that changed how...
We're all vampire coughing now from now on.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yeah.
You're gonna cough, you cough into your elbow.
Exactly. It might change, customs like just liberally shaking hands with everybody. Sort of the same way that even after, the AIDS crisis, leveled off and everything, people still, did the term safe sex even exist before the AIDS crisis? Probably not. I don't know. But, I mean, how often do you hear that term thrown around now? I mean, even to this day. That's just part of the vernacular.
It's also, but I will say, since the threat of AIDS has tapered in some ways because of management, treatment, drugs like PrEP that keep people from getting it, that phrase in the last 8 years has diminished like crazy.
Yeah, you notice shows that? You what kind of crowd Hal's hanging around.
Well, I'm just noting that there. And somebody asked if Magic Johnson had been completely cured. I think he has what's called an undetectable viral load.
Yeah.
The two people that were cured had bone marrow transplants, and it changed a gene in their system. It was like gene therapy accidentally that made them immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're developing it stuff. Oh, thanks, Rogue. So, yeah, like and subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Patreon.com/HalSparks. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to the Double Neck Download. We normally talk rock, and we're going to get to that right now. But but part of the big news is Zac Brown Band, Pearl Jam, Madonna, Kiss, and lots of other bands. All the Live Nation tours have been told to take a pause.
Mm-hmm. And the cities are playing roles here too, because even if somebody doesn't cancel their tour, if Seattle tells you you can't get more than, would they cap it at 250, 500?
Yeah.
Would
Seattle said 250.
Okay. So
crowds smaller than 250, things can go on. Anything above that is
okay.
Forbidden.
So if you're playing anything, I mean, you can't even play House of Blues pretty much with that. I mean, you can get more people than that in there. So
Viper Room, Whiskey, places like that are edging on that,
So
and that's like the new fire marshal.
Yeah, so what that says is even if you're not canceling your tour, you could have huge gaps in cities that just are not going to allow you to play.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. Bigger bands have the opportunity to dial back, I've been saying for a while, the coronavirus album and baby boom, it will be tangibly real February of next year. Like that's
real. Oh, right. Yeah. But, yeah.
And part of that is like, I just saw this article as we were looking up on the classic rock website on Louder Sound, Zakk Wylde, Eyes, Black Label Society studio return, with Ozzy Osbourne's touring plans postponed until later in the year. Zakk Wylde says he'll be using the time to write and record a new Black Label Society material. There is going to be a ton of that. And Ozzy, with his health conditions, Kiss had postponed some dates because of what turned out allegedly to be kidney stones on Gene's part, which is an amazing, like the fact that that diet doesn't just piss meteors considering his diet and exercise regime is kind of amazing. That was enough to shut them down for a little while because he had to have surgery. There's a bunch of these guys in this zone, and if your fans, like in the hard rock world, if your fans are ex-smokers, diabetic, and older...
Mm-hmm.
That's a cascading ripple effect that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel for those guys. You know what I mean? Because even though their venues, they're filling these smaller places, and they might have a smaller fan base. If your fans are made up largely of like smokers and vapors, and heavy set older rocker fans. Which is one of the reasons why you can't buy a small T-shirt at any hard rock show.
Believe us, he's tried.
You remember I went to the Metallica S&M show. Yeah. So this is a T-shirt it's from the Metallica S&M.
Mm-hmm.
Gathering. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is an official one.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Brewer, bless his heart, had been carrying this for a couple of months for me because he ordered it to get me one.
Oh.
Because they were limited and they had a couple available online because there were none there and there were no smalls available in the entire.
Mm. At some point, you should take a photo with the other two people that got small Metallica S&M
shirts.
That's
right. I should do a loop of that. But it is really awesome. And it's, even at the Kiss show, I didn't buy any merch because a lot of it was gigantic.
Yeah.
And a lot of the fans were, you know, are heavy set. And like, I've done a little bit of accidental fat shaming in the rock world, just because of my concerns for the health of some of our more portly stars. When Vince Neil starts looking there's a difference between fat and bloated, I would argue. It's a very distinct difference. There's a lot of heavy people who are, you know, technically obese or morbidly obese even, who are healthier than the ones that are, their skin looks like it's bursting at the seams because something else is going on. Yeah. It's liquor, it's other stuff. It's, you know, it's that Alex Jones bloat, that weird puffy, you know. There's tons of that in the rock world and the rock world fandom. And some of it's, you know, because of alcohol. Some of it's because of, you know, untreated diabetes. There's a mix of all kinds of just lifestyle related wreckage in the rock world. And those people, I mean, I love their music. I get concerned for them. And I certainly get concerned for their fan base, you know, because they're also, you know, statistically more apt to be in the crowd that is being told it's bullshit and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go do stuff. And we have this rock show coming up, and the kind of fans that we like, you know, I'm just saying, that worries me a little bit. If you're not 100%, or if somebody in your family's not 100%, don't come. Totally cool. And I think a lot of bands, what I was saying was, would it be interesting for you to bands that can't tour, who have all this budget, this huge stage, stuff just sitting around. Did you ever see the Metallica Into the Never movie?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a theater experience. It's like, it's a movie. It's got the dude from Chronicles, the actor is in it, and he's like, plays this gopher that experiences like the end of the world while he's running things, and they intercut it. I feel like it might be time for some bands to make those kind of plans. That it's time to record an album, shoot a video, and if you're on tour, go, okay, we're going to set the stage up, and we're going to do a Sign of the Times version of this tour. You know, did you ever see Sign of the Times, the Prince?
No, yeah. I'm aware of it, but I have not seen
it. It allegedly takes place at a French live show. But 85% of it is shot on the soundstage at Paisley, at Paisley Park. And I love it, by the way. That's where the You Got the Look video came from. There's something to the value of, like, creatively, where if you can't do this, what else can you do? There you go. Sue says, I'm 76 and I'm afraid to go to my Saturday breakfast place this Saturday. It was mobbed. Just be vigilant. Don't listen to the man in charge. Take care of yours, and you know, and an abundance of caution will not hurt anything. The economy is not your responsibility. It will heal. It will get back. Like, you're not responsible for the investor class not having a ruffle in their portfolio.
Right.
Hal, if you're reading this, was Kiss selling vinyl at their concert?
No.
They were selling shirts. There was a lot of autograph stuff, those little mini guitars.
Yeah.
Tommy Thayer has a bunch of, thanks for the cheers, Rogue, on Twitch.
I don't remember them selling any music at all.
Here's the thing. When you see stuff that people are going to sell at shows, the biggest thing, especially giant bands like this, thanks, James. Wow, I appreciate that. Holy smokes. People are super chatting in case you're listening to this later, and we really appreciate that. James Etling rules. A band or a touring artist, and I know this from personal experience, both as touring with a band and touring as a comedian, what you weigh against the material that you are bringing to sell is the weight of it versus the cost of bringing it versus the price point on selling it. So if something is really heavy, but you can't sell it for enough to warrant, if it doesn't sell, that's another suitcase cost or another crate cost. You have to understand, you bring 25 of something, just randomly, one widget, and your fans want to buy them and that kind of stuff. But each show you sell about 5. For the first 3 shows, you have an extra bag of other merch and stuff that it's added to the weight of that item as you check that bag. So you're paying until you sell, you know, $300 worth of stuff, and this is just all your regular bands and your regular stand-ups that you're rolling on, until you sell $300 worth of merch, you're still paying off the cost of bringing the suitcase because it's over 50 pounds most of the time, or you have to pay for an extra bag. So bands, especially on this scale, they have a truck, you know, or an airplane that is bringing the, you know, the merch that they're bringing, and they have to look at, will it break? And vinyl, one of the reasons why they couldn't wait to replace it in the music industry was breakage. Breakage was written into every hard rock contract. It was, and it was abused like fuck forever. Bands got so screwed on breakage because you were, the band was somehow responsible for that part of it instead of the label insuring against breakage and just letting it and sending some more, which, by the way, they did anyways. Like, the band would pay for the albums that never made it to the store so they could never be sold. That was in the band's, that was taken out of the band's share, and the labels would still insure the shipments, and if there was breakage, the insurance would pay for the breakage. So that, you know, that is a, that is an, so I think, you know, it might be the Netflix and chill tour kind of lifestyle for some bands. Is it time for your favorite band to go, hey guys, we know you can't come see a live show right now, but we're going to do a once in a lifetime live stream of a show, like, you know, we're streaming right now with fans and stuff on a chat, and we're going to take live questions from fans that are watching this right now. So if you, you know, pay-per-view it or whatever to pay for the cost of actually doing it and the shows they're missing, so that they can eat and send their kids, you know, to daycare, you know, because they can't send them to grandma's because kids might carry the virus and they can't send them to preschool or school because it's been shut down. There's a lot of that factor that goes into it. So let's see. I'm gonna roll back through the chat and see if we got any band questions. There we go. Tom Ebert says that would be great. I mean, I just think that's a smart way to go. Like this Sunday show I'm doing at Flappers, I'm going to stream for my Patreon supporters as an example, because a lot of them would come to the show, would pay a ticket, go see the show. They're okay to do that, but it wouldn't be necessarily wise of them to leave the house.
Yeah.
For just being prudent, you know, gotta be prudent. To quote Dana Carvey's George H.W. Bush. So, you know, do you think that would work? It's like the in. And by the way, our cruise is fucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was becoming a model for hard rock people.
Yeah. Yeah, floating Petri dishes are not...
Jesus Christ.
It was
questionable to be on the boat with someone like Stephen Piercy for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're like, we're cleaning every day, but we can't keep up with the amount of bacteria on this man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no, that's true. You're probably going to see, and you know, that brings up another good point, because cruises had become du jour because touring had been affected, and touring had become more important because record sales had become effective. So it went from money's made on records to no money's made on live tours to, okay, well, we can't always sustain a live tour on a big scale, but we can do these cruises, and those cruises will feature bands that can't tour all the time, like do the weekend fly dates and all that. You know, this cruise model is perfect. Quantity is, you know, quantity bill is perfect for them, just like a floating festival. Well, now we get, and there's the festivals too. I mean, that's another thing.
Right.
So the models that were currently working, the festivals, and more importantly, the cruises, because of how prone they are to infectious diseases.
Which, by the way, brings me to Las Vegas. Now, Las Vegas, for all of its faults.
By the way, the NCAA has just canceled the March Madness tournament.
Of course. Like,
yeah. But, I mean, they're not even going to play it without any people in it. They're just canceling it.
That's the NBA did it, and they were like, okay, we can follow suit. But it's absurd. It's not necessary. They're games. Get over it. You'll play later. You know, practice. Knock down. So, like, this is the time, you know, winter is not always a bad thing. And if you businesses, literally, who are freaking out about this, mm-hmm. would literally go, look, we're going to weather this, but we're going to take this time. There's a time for sales, but there's also a time for research and development. Mm-hmm. We're going to develop mm-hmm. stuff right now. Our stock will be worth more in a year and a half mm-hmm. because of what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And the same thing can be true of bands. I mean, I hate being the only fucking adult on Earth right now. But this is what, when confronted with these kind of things, you know, that Zach Wilde is being more mature about this than the NBA and the NCAA was initially. Like, dial back, do something else you're good at that will eventually give your fans something to look forward to. Would I have gotten to see Ozzy's tour this, you know, when he went out with Zach? That's questionable. Mm-hmm. Depends on where they are, my schedule, whether I could do it or whatever. Will I get to hear that album? Damn straight, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Black Label Society fan. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward now to getting that record, you know. Paul Stanley was just saying, you know, they were asking, will there be another Kiss album? And he was saying, probably no. I don't know if that's a, you know, that's a question mm-hmm. anymore. What if this shifts touring for a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do you do in that interim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But one of two adults in the live stream room. This is true. I'm of course referencing at people outside both the chat room who we're talking to and Richard, the adults that exist. Thanks for hosting me, Woodland Amigo. He's posting us on the other Twitch stream. First of all, favorite bands. Let's hear from you guys right now. Throw it up in the chat who your favorite band that's still touring and active right now, because I would like to enter that into the conversation
mm-hmm.
a little bit, because we're going to lose Richard in a couple minutes. And I want to, we'll touch on that. And more of these will come. I'm going to stream after this as well on my own channel. Just kind of updates on things. But, you know, my message to bands and strategies. Often that being hosted by Craig there. So we're on Twitch now. We're sprawling at this point, which is nice. Dream Theater, Scorpions, right? Like, Scorpions are an international band. They've had mm-hmm. a great, you know, they sing in English, German, and Spanish, based on the market. Like, they know what they're doing. Dream Theater often tours, for example, with other bands. So they'll mm-hmm. do, you know, they'll like the Progressive tour, you know, Progressive Nation tour, I think it was, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, like that. I saw them with Opeth and As I Lay Dying, and I forget who else was on that. But there's a lot of these bands that don't do, you know, can't tour without four bands on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's a bunch of moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I just thought of something, because you mentioned Scorpions.
Yeah.
Scorpions are doing a summer residency here in Las Vegas. As bands often do
right
here. Now, Vegas is a sitting duck for all this stuff where you and I are. I mean, because our population is based on every two or three days, different people come in and out of here. Okay, so that's the downside. But if you're a band whose tour gets canceled, I don't know the answer to this. I'm just brainstorming off the top of my head. But let's say if you're a band whose tour gets canceled, and you contact a venue, maybe even one of the ones here in Vegas that doesn't do regular residencies.
Yes.
And you say, okay, let's go in there. How many, in fact, you have a smaller showroom?
Yeah.
Okay, how many does it hold? You know, like, I mean, can you curtain it down to 500 people and maybe you do that intentionally?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Since our summer tour plans got canceled, we're going to come in there. We're going to move into your hotel casino for 2 months. Mm-hmm. We're going to play to 500 people a night. It's way less than what we normally play for. But we're going to charge a good ticket price because we're a really big band.
We're a destination band, right.
Exactly. And people can come. And you can control the environment more. We can sterilize this thing top to bottom night after night. Yeah. We can, and I know that's not the answer for everything, but I'm just thinking maybe there's a way to...
Well, I've always said, like, that's one of the things about Vegas versus a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Is you're not trapped.
Yeah.
If they say, we've got coronavirus in the hotel, everybody... out.
Yeah.
Go get tested. Don't, you know, self-quarantine if you think you came in contact with them. We'll let you know. But don't, not everybody stay here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a value to that because these, the ships, they know that it passes through the air over time. And the longer you're there, the longer you have a chance of doing it. If you have regular cleaning crews like they have on cruise ships, it's one thing. But if you're breathing recycled air and nobody's told you for days, like I just feel like there's options here that there are not when you are stuck at sea.
Yeah.
And I think after this, after we've got a grip on this to some degree, there's a case to be made by Vegas, which is, look, if you have a problem here, you can go. You know, if there's a breakout at the hotel across the street of bed bugs, you either don't have to worry about it in your own, or you can leave town with feeling fairly confident you don't have bed bugs. But if you're on a boat, you're screwed. And I think that's going to be a part of the thing. The firefight concert in Australia was awesome. Queen and Alice Cooper. Yeah, and again, we're talking about older performers who are in danger.
Yeah.
Rock and roll, you in danger, girl.
And the thing for those older performers, it would likely be the traveling as opposed, you know, because once you're on stage... I mean, you're far, assuming you're not doing the meet and greets and everything, you're far enough removed from the audience and you can even take extra precautions and go, hey, we're going to move the barrier back a little further than
nobody
we normally
yell,
have.
Nobody yell. Right.
Yeah, right,
no
right.
Expelling.
Yeah. Yeah. But the getting from place to place and being in a different town every day in a different hotel and all that sort of thing, that's...
Kimberly says driving and crying are great live. I love those guys. I've played with them. They're lovely. And let's see. And not a band, but I adore Celine. Was in Vegas, but on the road, not a small audience. No, not small at all. Def Leppard, you know, this summer tour that was planning, Poison, Joan Jett, and Motley Crue. Quite frankly, a lot of, like, younger fans, millennials, bands that relate to that are going to see a boon in show growth because the organizations like Live Nation are going to shift their focus to people who don't consider themselves in danger, even though they could spread it. You know, the same reason you shut down elementary schools is the same reason you would shut down these shows. But you'll see a bunch of people like, I want to go see a show. I don't care.
Yeah.
Am I alone from being a Matchbox 20 fan? No. I saw many of the Super Bowls of rock at Soldier Field. Yeah. This is a major thing, and it will change things. My message to rock, you know, fans is be patient with your favorite artists. Give them the breath so they can tour for many years to come. And to the artists, I would say it's time to woodshed. You know, I wrote my first new song in months, literally because I'm like, well, I was going to go somewhere, but I can't now.
Mm.
There's my guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Older patrons are safer in Vegas. This is true, Tom. So Aerosmith still tours, don't they? They're doing a residency here.
Yeah, they have the, of all the rock bands, they have the most successful residency here in Las Vegas. So they've kind of already got that model.
They do.
Go.
And I've always said the Kiss thing is the end of the road is the beginning of the residency.
Yeah.
And that's true of a lot of bands. Like doing a live version, even if you find out one night, you know, tonight it's really only Paul in the cast and Gene and somebody else are played by other people. Like, I would not be surprised by that at all in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating possibility, but yeah. Anyways, we're going to sign off. He's got to take off. You guys are awesome. The Double Deck download is on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasting situations. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd introduce it to you today. Obviously, the conversation is a little bit different. Usually, and we managed to devolve everything into talking about KISS. As we usually do.
Yeah, that's the mission statement.
That's right.
Yeah.
As hard rock fans,
we
will be talking about these upcoming albums that are going to occur, whether these tours are going to get back up, whether, and there's a bunch of back issues of this, you know, episodes that are still relevant to this entire experience, because this is the struggle in some ways of live bands touring in the modern.
Just one more plug for those two live shows we have coming up, though, in case you just joined in. So March 26th, Hal, myself, and Don Jameson, who is best known from That Metal Show.
Yep.
The three of us will be doing a live comedy show, a rock and roll comedy show. It's going to be live comedy, but we're going to do a Q&A thing at the end and talk about
around our music.
Yeah, we're gonna talk some rock. That's going to be on March 26th, 8 p.m. at Bootleggers Bistro inside the Copa Room at the far south end of the Las Vegas Strip. Mm-hmm. And then the next night, March 27th, which is a Friday, the 10 p.m. show, at Flappers. And where is Flappers?
It's in Burbank.
Burbank, that's right, yeah. So if you are going to be in either one of those areas and you want to come out to the shows, just message Hal or message me. We're going to put you on the guest list.
Yeah, all my patrons are on the list for all of these free of charge. Yep. And again, this is one of those things where I'm going to set it up somehow where we either tape it or are able to stream it if some people can't come, because this is something we're going to tour on. But in this environment, I'm modifying the model so that people have something to watch, and comedy, I think, is incredibly valuable right now in the midst of all this. So we keep our wits about us. So here's a good idea. Till next time on the Double Neck Download, go dust off some vinyl and, remember what it was like to live in the 1970s. If you do, and find out what it's like, for the rest of us that lived through the heyday of hard rock and the Cold War, when we thought a bomb was going to drop on us and wipe us out in an instant for ages. You're getting a little taste of that. And so take care of yourself. Take care of somebody else. We will see you very soon. Richard Hunter, follow him on Twitter. I'm at Hal Sparks. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Oh, rock on.